So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
Wisconsin Eye is interviewing those on the front lines of dealing with the COVID-19 emergency. Rob Kramer is Vice President for Administration at the UW System. He's dealing with some of the projected shortfalls on all the campuses and looking at it from a system-wide perspective. Rob, welcome to Wisconsin Eye.
Steve, thank you very much. Nice to be here today.
I want to start with a very timely headline in Axios, which is a national news service. And here was their top headline today, Rob. Coronavirus sends American universities off a cliff. Wow. Is it that bad, sir?
So the coronavirus is an unprecedented circumstance for all of us. And as we look forward, it's going to be remarkably challenging. I don't know if I would use the cliff analogy or not. It's hitting different institutions in very different ways. But it's going to be a challenge both in the short term and going forward long term.
Well, let's talk about the April 10 estimate that just to close this academic year, the shortfall is as of April 10 was 161.1 million. Can you talk about what causes that shortfall, please?
So the April estimates were a point in time. We worked with every one of the campuses to try and get a sense of the impacts to date. A large amount of that was the refunding of housing and dining to students. Because obviously as spring break arose, we asked students to not return to the residence hall. So that's a big chunk of it. But there's also a host of other lost revenues. Obviously athletics is one many people would be familiar with. But there's also research programs that start to lose their funding. And just all the different kinds of activities that go on our campuses around the state that generate revenue. You know, I think about theater productions, groups coming in for meetings, catering services. It's a wide range of things.
And of course, the UW-Madison basketball team was going to win the NCAA championship, and that would have brought in some money that won't be coming in. Right, Rob?
Exactly. And the Platteville girls were going to win the state high school tournament too, and they were unable to finish up.
I understand. Well, I understand the refunds. Room and board, but were there, once the system converted to online learning, were there a lot of tech charges to make that transition to finish this academic year, Rob?
So actually, that is a silver lining in all of this. The last 2 years, all the campuses had been working to transition the online services from what I would refer to as an on-premise hosted computer program, which was basically sitting on our hardware, to a cloud-based platform. UW-Madison had done that a year prior. All the other institutions this semester, actually was the last semester where they had a choice to be either on the old system or the new. And so by being on that cloud-based platform, we were really able to scale the technology very quickly. And so that was an unexpected stress test, I guess, of the new system. And the faculty, staff at all the campuses, IT folks, worked pretty much around the clock to get things ready for after spring break to have alternative delivery in place. A lot of it obviously being online, but also other things that students could do to really finish out the year. The critical thing in March was figuring out how do we get students through the semester, those who are expecting to graduate, how do we make sure that happens? How do we help others continue to make academic progress, so it's not like a lost semester for them. None of us expected a semester like this. Everybody has really, I think, tried to work hard to get through it. Yeah.
The April 10 estimate. Let's go back to that a little bit. Of 168.1 million. Has that grown dramatically over the last 2 weeks, Rob?
So I've not seen any new estimates on that. We tried to do an estimate for the semester to get us through the end of the semester. I'm sure it's going to be changed because it's a point in time as campuses continue to kind of work through things. They'll find some different pieces of the puzzle. So ultimately, we'll get to a final number.
Okay. Well, thanks to your office for providing breakdowns for specific campuses. Of that $168 million shortfall, $100 million, UW-Madison. Why is UW-Madison facing a disproportionate amount of that shortfall, sir?
So oftentimes I think about UW-Madison as almost between 40 and 50% of activity, depending on what you're looking at. So the size of the UW-Madison within the system in the state is remarkable. Also, when you think about the diversity of their revenues, in many ways, they're almost exposed more than many other campuses because of the scale of the Division I. You referenced the basketball earlier, but also all the research activities. They bring in $1 billion+ in research to the state every year, and some of those things are starting to get impacted.
Of that $100 million shortfall, just at UW-Madison, just this academic year, do you have an estimate for the R&D that won't be coming from the feds?
I have not seen a detailed breakdown on that. I apologize.
Okay. The next one, UW-Milwaukee, $9.1 million. Can you give me an estimate? What percentage of their budget is that? Do you know? I mean, is it 3, 4, 5%, do you think?
Oh, you put me on the spot on that one.
That's okay. That's okay.
I would have to get back to you with the percentage, yeah. I'm okay. Not going to guess. Yeah.
Okay. And then we had three universities as of April 10, Whitewater, Oshkosh, and Platteville. I'm sorry, four. Eau Claire, more than 7 million. These are significant shortfalls for these smaller campuses to deal with by the end of this academic year, right?
Yes, they are. They're significant, and each one is trying to identify the steps they need to take now to close up the year and then also think about what does the summer and the fall bring.
Okay. Now let's talk about steps that have been taken. The UW system just announced furloughs one day a week for the next 14 months through June of 2021. What's the system's approach to letting each campus determine how to make up the shortfall in the current academic year?
So the furloughs are one of the steps that each of the campuses are taking. I think seven have announced so far their furlough plans. Some of it, obviously, the current year, some like at the UW system where we're going forward at least for 14 months to try and generate savings. You know, campuses are also looking at what can they do with respect to some of their contracts. Are there opportunities to save some money there? Obviously, all of us are traveling a lot less. And so there are travel savings people will be realizing. Utility savings is another thing. You know, another piece of the puzzle is where can we find ways to operate differently and really do a lot more things, let's say, in a consolidated manner. We've done a number of things over the last couple of years to really bring services together that are primarily non-instructional to standardize and consolidate those. And so, for example, a number of the campuses now have the same group working to host their student information systems, where in the past each campus hosted their own SIS. And those incremental savings start to add up when you go across multiple activities.
How will UW system and how it operates, how do you see it operating differently as a result of the COVID health emergency?
You know, I think we will continue to really focus on where are the things that we can do operationally to save money, again, by consolidating services, not necessarily physically consolidating them, but standardizing the processes, standardizing the tools that we're using. You know, a second example I would offer, this past year, we've moved all but two of the comprehensives onto basically having their a big chunk of their payroll activity done centrally by a group that really focuses on that. And again, it's making the non-instructional things simpler and consolidating and saving money there, so that whatever resources we do have, we can really focus those on the academic mission and on students.
Well, how will the experience of students might change as a result of the COVID nightmare?
Yeah, certainly this is not a semester anyone anticipated when people were coming back from the break in January. The experience, I think, this semester is probably hard for many students, and it's important to just acknowledge that. This is not what they were hoping for. You know, if you're getting ready to graduate, you're looking forward to a whole host of activities around that. The commencements are going to be different, but we still want to make sure that the students are able to graduate. the online or alternative delivery is not what many of our students had signed up for. But again, focusing on their safety first, safety of the employees, and getting people through academic progress was critically important.
Well, let's talk about safety. Has ensuring the safety of students and faculty, is that a big driver of this shortfall of $168
million? The shortfall is driven by the fact that we asked students not to return. And so it was really the safety first. And that is, I think, an essential part of how we've tried to think about every decision that we've made to date, and going forward, that will be a critical piece of it also. Yeah. You know, for example, I'm working from home in part to you know, follow the stay-at-home order and to reduce the number of people going places.
Well, we've had a few weeks now to analyze the first CARES package passed by Washington. Is there an estimate of how much of that $168 million shortfall might be covered by Washington? The reason I ask is today's Wisconsin Public Radio story quotes the UW-Milwaukee chancellor as saying they're going to get $17 million from the CARES package. So can you talk about how much of that shortfall might be offset by CARES, sir?
Yeah, there are a couple different funding threads in CARES that are going to impact our students and our institutions. There's about $47 million that UW institutions are receiving to provide as emergency grants to our students. And so that's critically important. And all of our financial aid directors are working on ways to get those monies out to students. And Department of Education did a very good job turning those monies around quickly. Another $47 million of the CARES funding is coming to the UW institutions to utilize to offset their costs related to COVID-19 and the action we've had to take to date. There's a third piece of the puzzle, money that goes to the governor for K-12 and higher education to help stabilize things. And we're trying to, you know, communicate with the governor's office and share what we think would be some priority uses for those funds. I don't know what that third amount's going to be yet.
Okay. Well, you mentioned two pots of money of $47 million each. Then is my math, is it too simplistic to say 47 times 2, 94, CARES will cover $94 million of the $168 million shortfall? It's that's too simplistic, right?
Well, I think your math is pretty good, but I would not do addition. I would just do $47 million because the other part goes to the students. And that really is something that we want to make sure that it gets to them to meet their needs. Yeah, so the campuses will have that $47 million to be able to utilize either to offset these costs or other things as they're coming up. The Department of Education, I think, gave us some pretty reasonable and workable guidance on how to use those funds.
Okay, thanks for correcting my math, by the way. $47 million goes back to the students.
Story problems were always my challenge, too.
The governor has said he's asking every state agency what they need as a result of the COVID emergency. What is the UW system told the governor or will tell the governor? Because as I checked with the Fiscal Bureau, the governor can unilaterally spend $1.9 billion from the CARES. What is the UW system asking of that $1.9 million, sir?
You know, we've asked for a number of things, I think, totaling up to date about $59 million, a number of investments around supporting our students, providing better mental health services and counseling availability for them, some technology investments going forward that we think would be very helpful, some additional monies. You know, you mentioned the $47 million from the feds. If the governor's able to provide some additional funds to close that gap, that would be very helpful. So we're trying to really keep in close contact and apprising them as our situation just evolves. Where are the pressure points?
We've been talking about the emergency measures to close the books on this academic year. What are your, there must be major concerns with the next fiscal year, which starts July 1, the next academic year. Can you talk about the biggest issues there?
Yeah, I think the biggest question, and a number of institutions around the country are publicly talking about this, you know, are students on campus in the fall, or are we still using alternative delivery? That is probably the biggest question mark, and a lot of other things will flow out of that. And we don't completely control that, because we'll have to see where the pandemic is, where is public health at, and what type of guidance are we getting from the health experts and others.
The best case scenario, of course, would be students fully coming back to all UW system campuses and kind of going back to February business as usual. But as a reporter, I've got to ask you, what's the worst case scenario for the UW system in the next academic year?
I think the most challenging scenario is the online scenario, just because that is so different from the model that we typically utilize. And I've seen a number of presidents who've commented on the traditional higher education model is to bring a group of people together into a learning community. And COVID obviously flips that equation on its head in many ways, in terms of wanting to have people at a distance, not gathering together, not doing many of the things that we think about when we think about learning communities and people coming together at a campus.
With so many families financially challenged in this time of uncertainty, is the UW system really worried that fewer students who may have indicated they will be enrolling and starting, returning either as freshmen or returning to campus in the fall will not be for purely financial reasons?
Yeah, I think that was something we were keeping our eye on even before this. A number of the campuses had been dealing with enrollment struggles, just as the number of traditional students graduating from high schools in Wisconsin and the region has been declining. You know, we put in place some kind of incremental steps we were working through to help campuses adjust potentially to smaller enrollment over time or changing their academic program. This changes that quite a bit, obviously. There's a couple different things going on that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. One of the things we may see is a number of the students who chose to attend schools outside of Wisconsin deciding to transfer back to be closer to home. We've seen some indication in surveying about that. Students may want to return. And so we want to certainly be ready to welcome them back and help them be successful. International students is another kind of question mark in terms of just are they able to come to campus, and what kind of precautions do we have to take with respect to integrating them into the community? And then, as you know, some students may just decide to take a year and do something else because they want that traditional experience, and just either the uncertainty or the timing may lead them to make that choice. So it's something we're going to watch carefully. Yeah.
Speaker Voss has said the wisest course would have been to freeze GPR spending at the current fiscal 20 level for fiscal 21. Now, the UW GPR is 1.1 or 1.5, 1.1 or 1.15 billion. Are you worried when leaders like Speaker Voss say we're not going to get the GPR tax collections that the UW system might not get its 1.1 billion in the next fiscal year?
I think there's a number of things that worry us as we look forward into the next fiscal year. Obviously, state support is very important for the UW system. And as an employer of about 39,000 people around the state of Wisconsin, we have a very large impact in many of our communities. We're focusing on the things we can control in terms of finding ways to do things better. Where can we save some money? How do we support our students? That's the real focal point.
Do you think, is the biggest threat potentially to the UW-Madison, given its research mission plus its mission of as a four-year and graduate facility?
You know, I think they face some challenges that are very different because of their size and their diversity of operations and activities and how they are across the entire state in many ways. So I think they have a bigger and different challenge than the other campuses. It's going to be, I think, hard for all the campuses as we work through this, but Madison just has some different things they have to keep in mind. Yeah.
The two-year facilities, the two-year campuses are being merged into the 4 years. What will the COVID nightmare do? Will it speed up that merger? Will it have the effect potentially of potentially closing what have been our two-year facilities?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question. You know, we're in the second year now of the two-year restructuring. That was actually wrapping up here on June 30th of 2020. And a number of those campuses before this, we had seen nice increases in the number of applications coming. One of the key things that we heard throughout that process was the importance of those institutions to those communities. And through the restructuring, we were trying really to find ways to keep them open and thriving with different relationships to other UMW institutions. This changes a lot of what we thought was going to be the next couple of years there. But again, those are really important places in those communities. So we really have to think about how do we meet the public mission of the UW system across the entire state of Wisconsin, right? Get back to the Wisconsin idea. And these are places that matter to our communities. And how do we ensure that that is there, given a very different picture than we thought about just a couple months ago?
Did you say that 9 of the campuses have already announced their furlough plans, Rob?
I think I've seen 7.
7, okay. Yeah. Here's my question. That just deals with the immediate shortfall. Looking out in the next academic year, are we going to see hiring freezes and, as a result, some canceled classes on some of these campuses?
I think we're going to see hiring freezes, yep. Classes, I think we will be offering the classes students need, and that's always going to be one of our priorities. And I've always been impressed with the focus of campuses, the provost, the deans, the faculty, on making sure the classes are offered. We may have to figure out some different ways to get some of those classes out there, but I think we want to ensure that students are able to make progress and continue their learning.
COVID threatened the pay raises that are in the pipeline for the next for the next year.
Yeah, I think we'll be looking at all the anticipated spending commitments and saying, does that really make sense given this? Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be one of many things that we have to revisit.
Just a couple more questions. What are the next steps? Are the next major things that you're looking at as the system wrestles with the COVID emergency? Next steps, next benchmarks?
Yeah, so key next steps, obviously, we're getting close to May and the end of the semester, and students graduating. A number of the campuses have identified alternative commencement celebrations. And so I think it's really important to pause and celebrate the positives as we go forward, because this is a long process working through a pandemic, very different than some of the other types of emergencies we might have on a campus, such as a building having a fire or something. Yeah. And then really thinking about what is the potential for the summer and the fall and some different scenarios. And regardless of where we land, how do we keep student and faculty and employee safety first and foremost in our minds? And also, how do we continue to help the state of Wisconsin? There's been a number of very uplifting stories about, faculty at different institutions, students at different institutions helping the medical community, whether with personal protective equipment or masks in the community, hand sanitizer. A professor here in Platteville turned his operation from providing services to NASA to hand sanitizer for the community. So how do we continue to support our communities? That's really critical.
So the next few months will be critical in terms of sorting through the end of this academic year and projecting out. Do you look for a smaller UW system in 2 years from now as a result of COVID, or too soon to tell?
I think it's too soon to tell. And I think one of the points out of this in my mind is just how critical the UW system is to the state of Wisconsin, and how do we make sure that we're supporting that mission going forward, recognizing we'll be different than we had thought we would be. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe final question. What signs of hope do you see as the UW, the giant UW system with a budget more than $5 billion a year, goes forward dealing with this health emergency? What makes you hopeful?
I am hopeful because of the dedication, the commitment of all the people who work in the UW system. As I look around, just all the things that had to happen in the last couple months, it's remarkable that we were able to move from the instruction programs, the activities of early March to where we are now. Just the people of the UW system, I am amazed and grateful for them every day.
Oh, maybe just one more question because of something you just said. The current state budget authorized some major construction projects and maintenance, bricks and mortar stuff. Are those going to be put on pause because of the emergency?
You know, we're looking through a lot of those projects, some of which are obviously are funded by fees from like residence halls and the dining, and assessing what makes sense and how do we appropriately steward those resources and where do we commit them now versus where do we want to make sure we preserve some flexibility going forward. But the flip of it is the industry, construction industry, is very important to the state, and we want to be mindful of our impact on others.
Okay. Rob Kramer is Vice President for Administration for the UW System. Rob, thanks very much for taking the time and allowing me to add one more question when I said I was going to ask just one last one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Take care and stay well.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.